Welcome to today's session. This is Dr. Ruth. Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Thank you for joining me today as we continue with my Bible study out of the Gospel of Luke, the ministry of Jesus Christ. This is a verse-by-verse expository teaching of the Gospel of Luke. Hopefully, you have listened to the previous session, which was titled Luke 2a, okay, and we ended right there in verse 21. Today, we're going to continue still in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And if you recall, in the previous session, at the end there in verse 21, the Lord Jesus had been circumcised on the eighth day. Again, if you recall, this circumcision on the eighth day was necessary because this was an ordinance that God had given to Moses for the male child to be circumcised on that eighth day, and that represented the covenant relationship that God had with the nation of Israel. So the Lord Jesus, in obedience with God's law, had been circumcised. So now he had entered into this relationship with God through the nation of Israel. Again, remember, Jesus Christ was man 100% and God 100%. And as man, he was in obedience with all of the Old Testament laws. Okay, to just teach us a lesson of obedience to God's law. So now we continue with the teaching here in verse 22. The upcoming verses, beginning here in verse 22 out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, begins right away with the Lord Jesus being presented in the temple after he had undergone that circumcision. So we're going to learn that here. So we pick it up, verse 22 out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him, referring to Jesus Christ now, took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Okay, here's what's going on in these verses. In accordance with the Old Testament law that God had given to Moses, and this is discussed in Leviticus chapter 12, I discussed this in my teaching out of the book of Leviticus. God had given Moses this ordinance to give to the nation of Israel as part of the purification after childbirth, that the parents were to present a young, fresh lamb for burnt offering for the atonement of their sins, or a young pigeon or a dove for sin offering. And if they could not afford the fresh old lamb, they were to bring two doves or two young pigeons as part of their burnt offering and sin offering, okay, for the consecration of the newborn child. So this was what Mary and Joseph were doing to present the Lord Jesus with their sacrifice in accordance with the law. So we pick it up here. We are now in verse 25. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. Righteous just simply means obedience to God, faithful to God. He was a godly man. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. The consolation of Israel there is referring to the fact that he was waiting for the Messiah. Okay? And the Holy Spirit was upon this man. Again, here we see the presence of the Holy Spirit in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And I had discussed that this is one of the pervasive themes, the presence of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was in Simeon. We are now in verse 26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, this is verse 27, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the laws required I had explained that Mary and Joseph, in accordance with the law, had to present their offerings so their sins could be atoned for as part of that purification after childbirth. So Mary and Joseph had brought the Lord Jesus as a child to the temple, and Simeon, filled with the Holy Spirit, is going to prophesy. We are now in verse 28. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. Took him, meaning took the child Jesus in his arms and praised God. This is just awesome how Simeon was a righteous man, as we just discussed. He was looking forward to the consolation of Israel, as I said, looking forward to the Messiah before he died, and his day had come. His heart's desire had been fulfilled, and he truthfully was there to be the first one to speak a prophecy over the child Jesus. Friend, God is never late. Whatever we desire of God, at the right time, God would make it come to pass. So let's see how Simeon would proceed now with this prophecy. Verse 29, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. What Simeon is saying that, God, I have seen the Messiah. Now I can die peacefully because this had been my heart's desire. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Exactly. That is verse 30, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. What Simeon prophesied here in verse 32 is profound, because a lot of the Jews back then, even some of the so-called rabbis, were mistaken that the Messiah would only come for the Jews and not for the Gentiles. But it had been prophesied throughout the Old Testament that the Messiah would come firstly for the Jews and then later on for the Gentiles. So we see Simeon, under the power of the Holy Spirit, prophesying in verse 30, thanking God that the Messiah would come for the Jews and the Gentiles. Verse 33, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. You see, Mary and Joseph didn't quite get a full revelation of who this child Jesus Christ was. They had to grow and be knowledgeable about the Messiah. They had to grow and receive revelation from the Holy Spirit about the Messiah, just like all of us walking with the Lord today. So they were just marveled at the prophecies about their child and about everything that was going on. Verse 34, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother. Okay, now he is going to prophesy now to Mary. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. Prophecy number one. Let's pause. Why do you think Simeon prophesied this under the power of the Holy Spirit? Simeon is about to describe the ministry and the calling of the Messiah. Look at that verse there. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. So true. The Messiah would do one of two things, and he did in his earthly ministry and is still doing today. It would be a stumbling block to some, or it would be a blessing to others. There is no in between here. In the here and now, we would say you either accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the way, the truth, and the life, or you reject him. Jesus Christ hasn't given us any other option except you receive me, accept me, or you reject me, and you spend eternity away from me in hell by your own choice. So we see how Simeon was prophesying this over the child Messiah, that he would bring the falling and rising of many, just like he is doing today. So where do you belong? Have you accepted the Messiah as the way, the truth, and the life? We don't have much of an option here. It's either a yes or a no. No in between. We cannot have one foot in with Jesus, one foot out with all so-called cult world religions. It's either you are in with Jesus 100% or you are not. This is still so true today in the here and now in the 21st century and forevermore. Moving on, he's still talking about the child Jesus and to be a sign that will be spoken against. Again, second prophecy, the sign of the Messiah. Many will speak against him. Many would attack him. We already know that throughout his ministry, he was rejected, dejected. The third prophecy there is in verse 35. Continuing here about the child, the Messiah, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and his sword will pierce your own soul. So true. The thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. The Lord Jesus in his ministry would reveal people's thoughts. And we know that throughout his ministry, he did that. He would call people out and he knew what they were thinking. And obviously, this also pertains to Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul too. Obviously, we saw how Mary witnessed the rejection of his son, how Mary was there witnessing his beloved son being crucified on the cross. So this prophecy is profound. Just speaking over Mary, forewarning Mary, if you will, about the ministry of the Messiah, number one, just to recap here, he would be a stumbling block to some, but he would be a blessing to others. Number two, this is a sign that was spoken of in the Old Testament being manifesting here. The Messiah is born. And number three, the sorrow that Mary would experience and how the Lord Jesus would be able to see people's thoughts and their hearts. So profound. And honestly, this is something that I'm sure Mary, a young teenager, didn't quite fathom. I bet you, but as she grew, a lot of this came back to her remembrance. And it was really comforting to her to know that God was revealing things to her about her child, the Lord Jesus. Hello, friends. This is Dr. Ruth here. Thank you for joining me today. I would like to share with you our ministry offer that is available to you as a donation to this ministry throughout my teachings out of the Gospels. So, I have two resources that I know will bless you tremendously because these two books have blessed hundreds of people. So, the two books all have to do with the ministry of Jesus Christ. So the first one is titled, Who is the Real Jesus? And the second one is titled, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? So for a ministry donation of $50 or more, this includes shipping and handling. If you live here in the USA, we will mail these two books to you today. Okay, it will provide added clarity, added teaching about the Gospels, the ministry of Jesus, the work of Christ. These are phenomenal resources that would add into the teaching here I'm doing in the Gospels and help you to really have a deeper revelation and walk with the Lord. So again, this comes to us as a donation, and we thank you in advance for considering that. Again, the books are Who is the Real Jesus? And the other one is Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? For a ministry donation of $50 or more if you live in the USA. But if you cannot afford both books and you just want one, it's okay too. We thank you for your donation. So, Who is the Real Jesus? For a donation of $25 or more, including shipping and handling. And then the other book, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus, would be $35, including shipping and handling. We will mail these books to you today. The advantage of getting both books is that you would save $10, okay? So again, this ministry offer is only available for those who live within the USA because we cannot ship overseas. But if you live overseas and you're listening to me, you can get these books from Amazon. So here is how you can donate through us directly to get this book as a ministry offer. Our safe and secure website is drruthtanyi.org/donate. Again, drruthtanyi.org/donate. And then if you live in the USA, we also receive donations through Zelle. And here's the telephone number for Zelle. 909-501-9031. Again, 909-501-9031. And then we also accept donations through Cash App. And the name there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. Or if you just want to bless us with a one-time donation to help us produce more teachings like this and pay for studio time, we thank you abundantly from the bottom of our hearts. And God says thank you. And God is so faithful that he will bless you back abundantly, exceedingly. So I want to thank you in advance for purchasing this additional ministry resources to help you to gain a better revelation of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, we thank you. Here is the teaching. Okay, we move on here in verse 36. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Oh my goodness, this is awesome. This is a woman who really was mightily consecrated to the Lord, just 100% devoted to God. And she was a prophet. A prophet here meaning, at least during this time, she had such a close relationship with God that God reveal his thoughts to her, that way she would proclaim it to others. Okay, we move on here in verse 38. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Exactly. God had also revealed to this prophet that that child is the Messiah. So this old prophet Anna prophesied and spoke this to all of the people there just to encourage them that that promise that they were all looking for has come to pass. Verse 39, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. Verse 40, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Obviously, the child grew physically. This is the Lord Jesus grew physically. And he was filled with the wisdom of God. And the grace of God was with him. So the Lord Jesus, as a man, had to grow just like all of us. He had to learn the Old Testament scriptures. He had to live as a man in obedience with God's law. So this is amazing how in these verses we've learned how the Lord Jesus was circumcised at day number 8. And we are just told now at the end of verse 40 that he grew and was filled with wisdom. Moving forward to the next upcoming verses, we are going to learn how the Lord Jesus at 12 years old presented at the temple, or his parents presented him at the temple there in Jerusalem. And there's a lot we are going to learn here. We pick it up here in verse 41. Verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. Now, we recall, hopefully you do, the Passover was an ordinance that God had given to Moses, to the nation of Israel. This is discussed in the book of Exodus, and I discussed this there how it was that event whereby God brought punishment to the nation of Egypt, or to the Egyptians, because of their suppression and bondage of the Israelites, and God delivered the Israelites from the Egyptian bondage. And That night of the Passover was the night when the death angel struck every firstborn Egyptian and passed over the homes of the Israelites, and the Israelites were able to escape the Egyptian bondage. And all of this is discussed in the book of Exodus chapter 12. I had already discussed this there. So every year the Jews had to celebrate this along with the festival of the unleavened bread. So we're going to learn how the Lord Jesus' parents were heading to Jerusalem to celebrate this. So we go back here to verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Let me just pause here. What is happening is that, just to give you background so you understand this next upcoming verses, is that in accordance with the Jewish customs back then, the boys, right about the age of 5, were already introduced to the Old Testament scriptures. And by the age of 5, most of them could read the Old Testament scriptures aloud and actually were introduced to the laws, specifically the book of Leviticus. So by the time the child was 12 years old, they were so familiar with the scriptures, they understood God's laws in the book of Leviticus and the first 5 books of Moses. And by the time they were 12, 13, they were able to memorize the entire Psalms. They knew the Old Testament scripture. This was a mandate that God had given Moses to the nation of Israel. So the boys, by the time they were 5, they were already in God's word, and by the time they were 12, they were so versed and familiar with the scriptures. So we are going to learn how the Lord Jesus at the age of 12 was so versed and familiar with the scriptures, would stay behind at the temple to listen to the rabbis and to ask them questions. So that is what is going on. And another thing to keep in mind, during this festival, the parents would actually take a caravan and they would get up into Jerusalem for the Passover celebration and the festival of the unleavened bread. And traditionally, the children and the women would be placed in front with the caravan, which would go slowly, and then the men would come behind the caravan. And depending on how slow the caravan was going, at times the trip could be one day, at times it could be multiple days. If, as an example, the trip is at least 2 days, the caravan would stop and camp, and then they would spend the night and then continue the trip. So we would learn how Joseph and Mary had gone to the temple for this festival, and on their return, their caravan stopped. And then they realized that the Lord Jesus at the age of 12 was not there. So that is what is going to happen here. So you have this perspective. So with that, we pick it up here in verse 43. I'm going to go back and just reread verse 43 for context. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. And I've heard some people say, oh, the boy Jesus was disobedient. How come he didn't go with his parents? No, the zeal of the Lord was in his heart. It wasn't disobedience. Okay, so we continue here in verse 44, thinking he was in their company. They traveled for a day, just as I had explained. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. Verse 45, when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. Verse 46, after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Verse 48, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Now, let's pause. So we see how the Lord Jesus is presented at the temple at the age of 12, extremely wise, extremely eager to ask questions about the Old Testament law to the rabbi and the teachers. Again, as I mentioned, the zeal of the Lord was with him, and the Old Testament had prophesied all this. So Jesus Christ, as a child, did not disobey his parents. He was just so caught up in the presence of the Lord in the temple, listening to the rabbis, asking questions, that honestly, I'm thinking that the 3 days went by, he didn't even know that the 3 days had gone by. Let me ask you, have you been studying the scriptures and God is speaking to you and you've really been fed and you sit there for like 4 or 5 hours and you're like, man, where did the time go? Friend, in the presence of God, there is no time, because God is now, God is eternal, God is timeless. So the Lord Jesus had so much zeal for the word of God. And so that was what was happening there. And the mother Mary and Joseph, as I mentioned earlier, they did not quite get a revelation of who this child would be. They were so anxious. They were just upset. And then let's find out how the Lord Jesus would respond. We are now in verse 49. This is the Lord Jesus' response. "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" Exactly. But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Exactly. Jesus was alluding to the fact that I had to be in my father, God the Father's house. In my father's house, I was fed, I was comfortable, I was safe. I was just carried away. Granted, Joseph was his earthly father. By Jesus saying this, he did not disrespect Joseph. He just was alluding to the fact that in the presence of God the Father in his house, he was so filled with joy and curiosity and the knowledge of God. And didn't you get it that being in my father's house is my priority? Granted, he respected his earthly parents, but he was just alluding to priorities here. Being with God is my priority, so you don't need to worry about me. I was safe. I was protected, okay? That's really what this is alluding to, and we are going to learn how the parents would respond to this. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Exactly. So Jesus' mother Mary treasured all this. After she had heard the Lord Jesus said, don't you know how to be in my father's house? I'm sure Mary was like, man, really, what is he talking about? So Mary treasured these things, meaning she pondered on this, she pondered on it. Mary wasn't upset. Joseph wasn't upset. I think at this point, Joseph and Mary were getting a realization that the Lord Jesus, really, being in the presence of God was his priority. He already, at that young age, was already alluding to the fact that doing God's will was his priority. Being obedient to God was his priority. Yet, we are also told that he went to Nazareth and he was obedient to them as a young boy. Okay, we come now to the last verse there, verse 52. "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Exactly. The Lord Jesus grew in wisdom of God and in stature physically and in favor with God and man. So we have come to the end of chapter 2. So let me ask you this. What do you think the Lord Jesus was doing from the time he was 12 years old? When we pick this up here in chapter 3, we're going to see Jesus full-blown in his ministry. The scriptures don't tell us anything about those 18 years of the Lord Jesus. The scriptures end right here, the Gospel of Luke, at the age of 12. But we know that, given the customs of the Jews, We know that those 18 years, the Lord Jesus grew in wisdom, in his calling, in his relationship with God. As a man, he spent time preparing for his ministry. He spent time studying to be obedient to God. He spent time studying the Old Testament scriptures. He spent time learning the trade of being a carpenter. He learned that from his earthly father, Joseph, and he just had an ordinary life like all of the Jewish boys, really. And most important thing is that he was preparing for his ministry, preparing to really know who he was as the Messiah, what his role would be in history. I know when we read this, people are like, well, he had to study himself. Yes, he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus Christ was 100% man, 100% God. He still had to learn the scriptures like all of us. He still had to learn about the Messiah from the scripture. He still had to learn obedience. He still had to learn how to operate in the gifts. He still had to learn to stay in communion with God. So that was what the Lord Jesus was doing in those 18 years, preparing for his ministry. That would only last 3 years, but such profound ministry that would change the world, and the world will never be the same. So we have come to the end of chapter 2 with the biggest major principle here is obedience. Okay, I have discussed this. We are learning how Mary and Joseph were obedient to the law of Moses. They took Jesus to the temple. They offered the sacrifices for the sin and the burnt offering. And we are learning how Jesus went home with his earthly parents, Mary and Joseph, after the temple incident, and he was obedient to them. And we are learning how the Lord Jesus had a zeal for his father's house, and he started to teach his earthly parents, even at the age of 12, that God's calling in his life was his priority. Friend, the biggest application here is obedience to God and making God your priority and still being obedient to your earthly parents and still being obedient to the laws of the land. And the scriptures teach this clearly. So are you walking in obedience today in accordance with God's law? Are you obeying the scriptures, the holy word of God? Are you in obedience, or are you just doing what you want? No, the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ grew in stature and in wisdom and in favor with God and man. Friend, if you want to grow in wisdom of God, and if you want to receive and enjoy God's favor, then obedience is the key. Because obedience to God's law is the key that opens or unlocks God's blessings to chase you. So I just pray that you've learned something from today's session, that obedience to God's law is the key to walking in the best life that God wants for you to enjoy. And Jesus himself in his ministry will teach us in the Gospel of John chapter 15 that if you love him, you would obey his laws. So friend, I just pray that you are going to be obeying God's laws, and you are already obeying God's laws, and just enjoying his blessings and his presence in your life today. I hope you receive today's blessings out of this message in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your word. We just thank you for the example that the Lord Jesus has taught us here. The parents of Jesus have taught us here to be obedient to your laws and to prioritize our life and make you number one, even as the Lord Jesus, as a child at 12 years old, was already teaching us priority to make you God number one. Help us, Holy Spirit, so we can choose you as number one. Help us, Holy Spirit, so we can prioritize our life. So you, God, you are number one in our lives, because that is your will for us, that we make you number one. And as we make you number one, everything else that we want in life will chase us, because you've already taught us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else shall be added to us. So Father, help us to walk in obedience. Help us to make you a priority in every decision, in every area of our lives, and to trust you as we just walk in your love and your peace and allow your blessings to chase us effortlessly. I thank you for all the listeners today that you will take this message and speak to their hearts and embolden them. We just thank you for your presence and for your love. And I have prayed all this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody says, Amen. God loves you.
Before we go, I want to remind you to visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. That's drruthtanyi.org. And check out our event page and sign up for one or all of our upcoming events. While there, remember to subscribe to Dr. Ruth's monthly Bible teaching e-newsletters so you can start receiving more life-changing teachings. If Dr. Ruth's teachings are a blessing to you, we would like to know that. So would you please send us an email and let us know? Here is our email address, info@drruthtanyi.org. That's info@drruthtanyi.org. You can also find Dr. Ruth's simple and practical teachings on YouTube. Just search for Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and watch Dr. Ruth's Bible teaching videos at your convenience 24/7. Remember to click the notification bell on YouTube after you subscribe. That way, you will receive alerts when we upload more Bible teachings. I am Chris Horam, and may God's abundant blessings chase you today. In Jesus' name, amen.